Hey, we're starting a new series for the next 3 weeks that we're calling Good Soil. And we're talking about dirt. Isn't that awesome? Is anyone excited about talking about dirt? Come on. It's springtime, and I don't know what your springtime plans look like. Maybe you live somewhere where you're renting and someone takes care of your yard, or you're in a strata and your yard is taken care of. I live in a new home that we got to move in the winter. And in the winter, I don't know if you know this, there's not a whole lot of gardening to do. Spring has sprung at our house, and now there's this beautiful, I'm so thankful to move into this home where someone really cared about the garden before, and so there's these beautiful rhododendrons, yes, I know that name now, and these beautiful hydrangeas, and these beautiful green things, and all these other beautiful things, but they're all there, and I look at the garden, I'm like, oh, isn't this great? But I realized that a whole lot of work goes into it. And so this first year, I'm just like, Lord, if nothing else, please help me not to kill all of this stuff. Like, I'm not a very seasoned gardener. I'm thankful for Dr. Mark Lawrence, who's been pouring his wisdom about gardening into me. But I'm learning about gardening. I'm starting to understand it. But I just don't want to kill everything that's in our yard. Like, it's all amazing and beautiful. So I've started trying to do my own green thumb work this year. So the first thing that I did in my house while it was still winter is I started raking the moss out of the grass. I don't know if you've ever done that job, but it is not fun. It was a ton of work just pulling all the moss. Us, you know, in Williams Lake, we never had moss. And so this is a West Coast blessing that we have all this moss. And so I'm raking it all out of the grass. And all of a sudden, there's like dead patches and dirt all over my yard. And I'm like, you know what? I'm pretty good at gardening, I think. In other words, I've never done any in my life, but I'm going to just sprinkle some seed on here. So I get some grass seed. I sprinkle it on this patch of dirt. I'm like, that should be good, I think. Good. And I carry on every day. I spent more time with that seed than my kids. I was like, I just want to see the seed. And so I'd go out, and I'm like, Kendall, I put it on the first time I go inside, and I'm like, Kendall, I'm going to go outside again and check on it, you know? I come back in, I'll have dinner quick, but then I need to check on the seed, see how it's going. I'd go out, I'd be looking really closely, like, is it, I think that one might be, no, I have no idea. And then I go back in, come back out. I watch the seed because I'm like, I'm gardening, you know? I'm learning something. This is awesome. And so I'd go out, check, go out, check, go out, check. And nothing happened to my seed. I didn't see any grass, not a little bit. We still have dirt patches right there. But then there was this other piece that I was supposed to do. We had a tree come down, a stump got all ground up, and we had this huge dirt patch in our backyard, and I thought, now's the time. I'm going to win here. I'm going to get this sorted out. I went out, and I bought soil. Is it kind of weird that we buy soil? I think it's kind of funny. I would go out and buy soil. I'm going to purchase the thing that's under all of our feet all the time. But anyways, I went and bought soil. I came home. I mix it in with what we've got. And I also was supposed to get all the rocks and wood chips and stuff like that out, which I didn't really. But anyways, I mix it all in, got it all ready. And I got the seed, put it in. I thought, this is the time. It's going to happen. And so I started watering the soil. And that's a kind of weird process. I don't know if you've ever felt that, if you've ever done some watering of soil like I had. I'm expecting grass, but for a long time, it's just me spraying dirt. That's it. Out there spraying, just making mud. And I'd watch again. Any grass? No. Still just spraying dirt. And I start thinking, what if grass never comes? Like, maybe the last grass that was ever going to sprout on this planet has already sprouted, and what if there's never going to be grass, and my life is going to be spent spraying dirt? That's it. Wetting dirt. Because I have to continually, instead I have to keep the grass wet. I have to keep the dirt wet, or the grass won't grow. So I keep spraying it, keep wetting it. But there's nothing beautiful about wet dirt in my backyard. There's nothing refreshing. There's nothing nice. There's nothing great about what I don't invite the neighbors over. Come on over. Check out my dirt pile. Look at it. It's nice and wet. And I've wetted it. really well. It's all wet. Come and see the dirt. No one celebrates the dirt. No one starts a dirt garden and says, there, it's done. I just got lots of beautiful dirt, and that's all. We actually use dirt to grow something. We believe that within the dirt is some potential. Underneath the dirt a little bit, something will sprout up. But until it does, we just spray dirt. That's all we do. We're just wetting dirt, hoping for something, but wetting dirt. Sometimes that hope goes away. Start thinking it's not going to happen. I feel like sometimes our Christian faith is that way. Or we spend all of our time preparing. We spend all of our time sort of working on something. We spend all of our time trying to figure out, you know, my Christian life is about like the reading the Bible. Or my Christian life is about, you know, not swearing anymore. Or my Christian life is about dating in a different way, or deciding to pursue a different thing in my life. Or my Christian life is about going to church and getting up early and making sure I show up and doing all that. And that's my Christian life. And it's all really kind of actually boring, like spraying dirt. You wet the dirt and you sort of hope for something, and eventually you realize you're wetting the dirt and you're not even believing for the grass anymore. You're not even believing for what's underneath. You're not even believing for the thing that God has for you, for the hope that's within you, for the life that's meant to rise up out of that. And your Christian life, for lots of us, our Christian life is about as exciting to the onlooker as a pile of dirt in our backyard. Hey, come on over, check out my Christian life. It's awesome. Cool. What is it all about? Oh, every day I just sort of get up and pray a really mundane prayer and say, God, keep me safe today. And I walk out the door and I don't really do much else at all. Come and see, you know? Come and check it out. Isn't that awesome? And it just isn't. A dirt pile in your backyard's not exciting. God didn't make us to just be dirt. God didn't make us to just have dirt in our life. God didn't make us to just be Christians that are unfinished. God said, I want to place something in you. And you being dirt, you allowing me to plant myself in you, it will grow up and it will sprout up and I will do great things. But you need to let me grow in you. God needs to become bigger for us. God needs to look better for us. God needs to inspire us and change our actions. God needs to do the things like he's done in lives today where people say, my Christian life was about, imagine if that guy who's 2 weeks clean from heroin, imagine if his Christian life was showing up to church, showing up to church, showing up to church, showing up to church, and never taking the strong steps that God has empowered him to take to clean his life up, to walk free from addiction. Oh, that's not a very inspiring story. Well, we just come to church and that's it. No, but God has given me the power and I've chosen to walk in it. And I'm seeing that I'm being freed from addiction in my life. And he's going to stumble maybe, and we'll all stumble probably. But what is God doing in us right now that's inspiring for others around us? We're going to talk about three stories from the Bible that Jesus talks about. And they're all about dirt to some extent. And the first one is actually a parable. It's one verse long. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. So there's this man, that's the whole story that Jesus shares. There's this guy, and you imagine he's a treasure hunter, you know? He wants something of deep value. He wants stuff that's worth something. I think all of us are probably like that to some extent. I want something that's actually going to mean something for my life, that's actually going to impact my life. I want something that would actually cause me to change the way I decide things. I want something that would cause me to be inspired. I want something that would give me peace when I don't have peace. I want something that would give me hope when everyone else feels hopeless. I want something great. I don't want dirt. I want grass. I don't want dead. I don't want to keep watering something dead. I want to water something that's going to live. And so he comes, this guy's searching for treasure, and he checks out this field. Yeah, there it is. It's a beautiful field. Maybe it's just like a nasty field. I don't know. Maybe it's just a field of dirt and that's all he sees. But he walks out and he decides that there's something deeper than dirt here. There's something more to discover. There's something that he can find if he'll go and look a little bit, if he'll dig around a little bit. Maybe there's something he can find. So he wanders out onto the field and he just starts digging. It's funny, as isn't his field, but he just starts digging around and looking and looking and looking. Eventually, he finds it. I picture there's holes all over this place. Like, how long did it take him to find this, right? Finally, he finds it. He goes, wow, whatever it is, this treasure is worth my everything. This treasure is worth my whole life. This treasure is worth me pouring out myself into. So he hides it back. He buries everything. He covers up all his holes. And he runs over. He goes to the bank. He takes out everything he has. He sells all of his stuff. He doesn't want to short this. He doesn't want to miss out on the opportunity. Sells everything. Gets all the money he can possibly have. Comes back and says, hey, I want that field. The guy buys the whole field because he doesn't want to miss out on the treasure. He buys everything. He gives his whole life for this one treasure because there's going to be something about that treasure. Like, there's something about that treasure that added value for him to the entire field that was there. As I was preparing for this week, I really believed that God was revealing to me that some of us, we've decided that Christianity is about the field. That we started to live just for the field alone. Well, I'm on that field, and it's not all that glamorous, it's not all that beautiful, it's not all that great, but it's just where I'm at. It's just the life I have. Maybe that field for you has included some persecution. People have mocked you for being a Christian. Or you've decided not to be a Christian because you don't want to be mocked. And as far as the field of life goes, it's just not that great. I don't want to give up my life just to be mocked. That doesn't sound like a great field. Maybe that field for you has to do with the commitment that you don't want to make to church. Oh, I would be a Christian, but I don't really, like, yeah, it's just all about showing up early and serving on a team or giving extra time to something, or then I'm going to have to join a small group, and I don't know if that's what I want in Christian life, and so I'm just not sure, and that's just the field. But when Christianity becomes about the treasure, then whatever is on the field, it's fine. You can handle it. I have a friend right now, two friends, good for me, two. And they live in Abbotsford, and they're walking through a journey right now, and they're sharing it quite openly, and so I can share it as well. But they've been here before and spoken here. Their names are Clark and Kim. And a while back, when I was at camp with them about 3 years ago, and Kim started having some feelings in her arm. Something was going on with her arm, and she was really tired, and she was losing some cognitive stuff, some abilities in her mind, and just some challenge was going on, but we didn't really know what it was. Just thought, well, you've been running around. She's speaking all over the nation. She was just too busy, and so said, well, you probably just need to rest and get rejuvenated, and that's going to be good. Well, a few weeks later, they had a doctor's appointment, and they found out that she was actually battling multiple sclerosis. She had MS. They were just into their 30s. They're a young couple. They were pastoring a Bible college and leading just incredible work, and all of a sudden this thing rocks them. What? You know? Oh, we're following you, Lord, and we want to go after what you want to go after. We're speaking literally all over the nation. We're going to camps and retreats and all over these places, proclaiming the name of Jesus. Why wouldn't you protect us from this, right? Why would this be the thing that we're walking through? Why do we have to do this? And she started sharing the testimony. She started letting people in on what was going on with her and what she was facing. And she started talking about the idea of how important it would be for her to continue to serve Jesus, how important it is that you worship him in the good times and the bad times. And, you know, I think if someone just looks on at that life and says, you know, what's Christianity? Well, Christianity is you just have to be happy in a disease. That's what it is. You have to be content. Even though you get a disease, you just have to be content. It's all good. Don't worry about it. You're fine. Yeah, you might die, but it's okay. It's just that people will look at that and say, that's not really, I don't really want that. Because that's the field approach. But when you start to recognize that deeper than the field, when there's treasure in the field, then anything that you walk through on that field, anything that grows on that field is worth it because of the treasure. So Kim and Clark, they walked through the process. She was just doing incredible serving God. And eventually, there was this massive donation made to them that allowed them to do this particular treatment. They did the treatment, and they said, it's worked. It's working. It's incredible. Look at this. Praise God. Tons of people praying. There's all this. It was just like, yes, we're going. We're going after it. Thank you, God. You gave us a testimony and you let us walk this out. And now we've seen that it seemed to have stopped, and how amazing. Then they took on the lead pastor role together at a church in Abbotsford. Not about 2 weeks ago now, they've been walking through the process of now she's in relapse. Or she's gone back to the doctors, and the doctors who had told her that it was all done, it seemed to have stopped. Now they said it started again. You're walking through this again. Kim was just yesterday at a youth conference called History Maker in Chilliwack, speaking to thousands of youth. And she was saying, if your Christian life is about making you happy, you're never going to actually be happy. It's not what you're living for. Your Christian life is about glorifying God. And how do you say that other than you found treasure in the field? Sometimes we look at the dirt in our life, the junk in our life, the diseases in our life, the poverty in our life, the rejection in our life, the guilt in our life, all of these things in our life. And we say, well, I don't really want these. I don't really like these. And we think Christianity is about trying to get away from them and figure out the easiest way. And God, get me off this field. This guy didn't move from the field. He said, I got to dig down because there's something in this field that will make everything that I'm doing here worth it. The kingdom of God is like a treasure. It causes you to feel like whatever you're walking through, it's okay. It causes you to feel that whatever dirt is in your life, you can dig a little deeper and find hope that you didn't know before, and find joy that you didn't know before, and find life that you didn't know before. So much so that you would actually go and buy the field, not just the treasure. You'd go buy the field with all of the disease, with all of the challenge, with all of the relational difficulty, with all of the rejection, with all of the shame that comes along with it. I mean, I'm sure people looked at this guy and said, why are you giving your life savings to this one field? Why would you sell everything and go buy this field? Like, what does that even mean? You don't even know. And he doesn't even know where the treasure is. It says he hid it again. I don't know. Maybe he marked it out. Jesus didn't really tell us. But I imagine he just left it there and didn't have to pull it out and say, here it is now, everyone. See, check it out. He just left it there and said, I know it's there now. I'm going to take care of this field. I'm going to live this life because I know that the treasure is here. I know that if I dug for long enough, I would discover it. And I'm going to live my life here in this field because this field now has value. Is there anything that you could walk through in life that couldn't have value when you know the kingdom of God? When you know the treasure that is in your circumstances? You know the treasure that is in your life? When you know the treasure that is even in your past? Some of us come here and feel like our background is dirt. Well, God doesn't mind that. In fact, God needs dirt to dig up the treasure in you. If we have an eye to look at a field and recognize, yes, dirt, but deeper than dirt is what this field's all about. Deeper than your disease is what life is all about. Deeper than your sickness, deeper than your poverty, deeper than your confusion, deeper than your doubts, deeper than all of those things that life has included within it. Deeper than those is a treasure for us to discover in the kingdom of God. If we can look at dirt and dig a little deeper, we are doing something that God actually started all the way back in Genesis 2. You know the first thing that God did the first real thing that God did with dirt. He breathed into it and made humans. Genesis 2, 5 to 7 says, No shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord the God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Some of us feel like our dirt from the past, it keeps us out from here. We shouldn't be part of this church. We shouldn't be part of this place because there's a lot of dirt in my background. I want to know for you, what do you think could be dirtier than dirt? God took the dirtiest thing. It's dirt. He said, of dirt I will make life. Of dirt I will pour my spirit and life will come out. Of dirt, I will form it, and life will show up. And that life is actually the only life of which he says, this is made in the image of me. What is made in the image of him? Dirt? No. The life that he breathed into that dirt that made each of us. We can't do something that makes us more dirty than dirt. We can't live a life that makes us more dirty than dirt. And Jesus says, God revealed us in creation that dirt was all it took with the presence of God to make the image of God in us. How does God want to reveal his image in your dirt, in your life? In your circumstances, in your life right now? In your field that maybe you say, I'm not crazy about all that's going on in my life and I'm not crazy about all my Christian walk, but what is God trying to do within it? What is deeper within your circumstances right now? What is deeper within your challenges right now? What's deeper than your past hurts right now? What's deeper than all of your past sin that you feel guilty about right now? What's deeper than all of that is that the presence of God can take dirt and make human. Take dirt and bring life. Jesus has life for you. Jesus has life for me. Not just because we're all clean and good and done the right thing. Because he says, within dirt, I will grow. Within dirt, I will give life. He did it then, he'll do it now. Worship team, you can come and join me. Right now, we've been reading through the Bible. Some of us have been reading through Bible in a year, and one of the things that we've just bumped into recently is Job. And Job walked through all sorts of stuff. He lost his kids. They died. He lost all of his livestock, of which he had much. His buildings were wrecked and gone, and then all of a sudden he had disease. Job walked through everything. You sort of look at that life and say, well, I guess it's not that great then. It doesn't matter if you follow God or not, because if you follow God, it doesn't actually help you with those things. It doesn't actually make you feel any better. You're still going to have to walk through some challenging times. Yeah, you will. But when we follow God, we've got a hope that no one else has without him. When we follow God, we've got an assurance that our dirt can turn into life for us. When we follow God, we recognize that our circumstances can be testimonies of his goodness. When we follow God, we can recognize, like Kim is doing in Abbotsford, that even though she battled once with MS and then thought it stopped and then had to battle back again and is on stage speaking to thousands of students 2 weeks later, even there's a testimony that God is at work. God is still in control. And within our dirt, within the mess, he still breathes life. Like the day he started, the very day he breathed life into human beings, into their dirt, that very day he started a trend he continued to do. No one would say to me, I hope I get myself in a heroin addiction. And yet there's not much more inspiring than someone who's walked out of it through Jesus. No one would say, I want to get MS. And yet there's not much more thrilling than someone who says, I'll glorify God in this. He's my strength through it. He's empowering me in the midst of it. No one wants dirt in their life. No one wants that field. But we all want the grass. We all want the treasure. We all want the goodness that God has. And His goodness trumps all badness. The field looks good when you know the treasure's in it. The sickness looks manageable when you know the treasure is there. Your past looks forgivable when you know the life that He gives. Your hope looks attainable. Your addiction looks like you can be recovered from it. Even in the midst of it, if you dig past the dirt a little bit, discover the treasure, it makes all of this field worth all of your life savings. The life you're living, challenges you're facing, the stuff you walk through, the dirt that comes up in your life would be worth you giving your whole life to it if in the midst of that dirt you know the treasure's just below your feet, which is actually in your heart. God wants to breathe into you like the very first day that humans came onto the planet. Our bodies are no more, I don't think we look more like God than an elephant, but we got the Spirit of God in us. We're dust. I started as dust, I will end as dust. This body is going to die one day, it will become dirt again. And I'll start as dirt, I'll end as dirt. And what was the in-between time? The very thing that looked like God, it was the presence of God. That He breathed in. That He breathed into us. We can experience His fullness, His purpose, His life. That isn't taken away if our bodies are attacked by disease. It isn't taken away if our mind is bothered by someone, if our heart is hurt by rejection. Presence of God doesn't leave me then. The thing that looks like God in me doesn't leave me then. I'm still dust. Started that way, will end that way. In between, presence of God is in me. God wants to breathe into you today. God wants to allow you to breathe deep and experience that first breath. Watch how your dirt turns into testimony. Watch how the dirtiness in your life, the field that you maybe haven't liked, haven't appreciated, turns into great things. Watch how seeds start sprouting up in that dirt. Watch how you start to experience life that is fuller, that you didn't know could be full in the midst of this. That you can be filled up. That it'd be worth giving your whole life to. Would you just bow your heads, close your eyes for just one moment here? I just want you to take a deep breath. Imagine that moment when dust became human. When we breathe in the Spirit of God, He doesn't say, now your past is all gone all the time. He doesn't always say, now the circumstances changed all the time. He doesn't always say, the disease is healed. But He does say, the dirt in your life, I will make it into life. The stuff that feels dirty to you, I will turn it into life. I want to plant seeds within your heart. I want to plant seeds within the dirt in your life. It's not, you don't have to sweep the dirt out of you. I'll plant life into it. Today, I believe there's got to be some people in here Say, I want that for myself. I want to experience that breath of life like was first given to Adam. I want to know what it's like to have the dust in my life, the dirt in my life, the junk in my life actually become life inside of me. I want to know the field with the treasure in it. I want to know the dirt patch with grass growing out of it. I want to experience the life that God gives. I want to know what Adam felt. Today, if that's you, you say, I just want that. I need the life of God to flow into me. I need the life of Jesus Christ to flow into me, just like it did into Adam. Would you just raise your hand with a deep breath in? Yeah. So I want to pray for you. Is there anyone who says, Pastor, just pray for me. I want to know that life that Adam knew. I want to know my dirt turning into, yeah, I'll pray for you. I want to know my dirt turning into testimony. I want to know that in the midst of terrible circumstances, there can be growth, there can be hope. Is there anyone else who'd like me to pray for them? I'll pray for you. Praise God. Is there anyone else? Pray for you. Love to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all the dirt in this room. God, I'm okay calling myself dirt. All of us, dirt. Because, Lord, you do great things with dirt. Dirt wasn't meant to just remain dirt and do nothing with it. Lord, you plant within dirt. You grow within dirt. You do great things through dirt, Lord. Life comes out of dirt. In fact, the very first life of a human being came because dirt existed. And so, Lord, today I pray into the dirt of people's past, the dirt of people's circumstances, the dirt of life that feels challenging and difficult or mundane or boring or confusing, that into that dirt today, Lord, you would plant life. Today, you would speak life. Today, there would be an overwhelming joy that would be planted into the dirt of life, God. That past don't need to remain dirty, but life would flow out of them, Lord. That where shame exists, I pray, Lord, that you would write a new testimony. Where disease exists, I pray you would put a new hope, Lord, a new joy, a new passion to see you grow, even now, even here. Thank you, Lord, for life. We just welcome it. We just welcome it. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Teach us to follow you. Teach these people who've raised their hands today to breathe deep and know the life that you pour in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. These guys are going to do one chorus of the song we did earlier, It's Your Breath in Our Lungs. And I just want to encourage you, honestly, sometimes we need to do physical things to get ourselves spiritually engaged. I want to encourage you to breathe deep and allow your spirit to do the same. As you physically breathe deep, allow your spirit to do the same. Breathe deep that same life that came and made dust into Adam. God still wants to turn your dirt into life. Breathe deep this morning. Let God speak and lead you today.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour. Pour out our praise, it's your breath.
you to look in front of you there and track down a connect card and just let us know what God has done in your heart today. Maybe even if you didn't raise your hand, something in you that is hungering after whatever that is, whatever that Jesus is, just fill out a connect card and let us know. We'd love to contact you and chat with you and connect you into the church if you're interested. And for the rest of you, breathe deep today. Breathe deep today. Let God fill you up with the same life that gave Adam life. Let him give you that life today. He will. He's faithful to it. And then come on back next week. Bring someone with you. We're going to continue talking about good soil. And we'll just continue along this journey as we look to Jesus together. Have a great week. We love you. Thanks so much for coming. See you next week.